When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
All right, what's up, everybody? Left Not Die Later season of we're back in the recording season. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Today we got my favorite part about the podcast, or what makes it cooler, is that I'm always like live from certain place.
Yeah,
because it's always like the randomest random places. Like last time we did the dude from Command and Hoax. I don't know if you met him.
Yeah,
the vocalist.
Yeah,
and
Jesse.
Yeah, we did it in his basement.
Oh yeah,
and it was just like crazy as shit. Like it was just like I'm like in his basement with like a bunch of noise shit. Like, you know what I mean? Like in the night, I'm and like in Lincoln Heights, I'm like, okay, like now we're live from Zebulon. Yeah. We're live at the Zebulon bar, and with John from Mutt, Outlaw Press, and X Culture Abuse, and am I missing an event?
Those are good ones, yeah.
Yeah, those are the big three.
Yeah.
The big, because we don't gotta get into the bands that, like, what was the first band you were into? Like,
first band I was into?
Yeah, first band you played in, yeah.
First band I ever played in was, I was a sophomore, so when I was like a freshman, me and my friends, we like started a band, and it was called like Loser Takes All.
Loser Takes All, that's kind of a good name.
Yeah, but none of us knew how to do anything, so basically we'd like have band practice, but we just like drank soda and ate chips and hung around and watched movies. never actually happened. We'd like pretend play, you know, like in our, you know, like, in it, like we'd like be unplugged and just like listen to music and just play, like pretend to play along to it. After that, I was in a band sophomore year. It was like a real band. We started playing some shows. It was called Forever and a Day. Both awesome little pop punk bands, you know, little kids singing about how tough life is. And then I was in a band called Bravo Fucking Bravo. That was the first band I was ever in that toured.
Yeah,
we like came out to California.
Where are you from?
Massachusetts. Yeah.
So how old were you when you moved to California?
23.
Oh, okay. So you're, yeah, okay.
I moved out here in 2010.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so 23.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And how was your childhood? Are you raised by a single mom?
Single mom, yeah.
How was that?
It was fine. I mean, like, she worked her ass off, and I had two older sisters, but one of them kind of moved out because she was, like, the badass one, and, like, mom was still trying to, like, wrangle us all, like, you know, to be good people or whatever, and she was, like, started, like, listening to metal and, like, punk stuff and dyeing her hair. My mom's like, you can't dye your hair. She's like, I'm dyeing my hair. And then So my mom's like, you can't live here if you're going to dye your hair. And she's like, all right, fine, peace. And, like, moved out, moved in with my dad. But he was, like, never really around. And just
you guys are off on the same dad?
We are. It's me and my two older sisters. We're off on the same dad.
And he just, like, still wasn't...
He just didn't do shit. So, like, she moved in with him because she could do whatever the fuck she wanted because there was, like, no rules here because he didn't give a shit.
Yeah.
Like, he lived with, like, this lady who had, like, four kids. They were on welfare. Like, he didn't work. It's, like, a cockroach-infested apartment in, like, the worst neighborhood in, like, Lawrence, Massachusetts, which is, like... Which I think at one point it was like the murder capital of America.
Oh shit.
Just crazy ghetto shit. But she would rather be free than have the rules or whatever. But my mom wasn't even that strict. Like, I don't know. She probably didn't want her dyeing her hair because she fucked up the bathroom, you know?
Yeah.
And then, like, luckily, because I had two older sisters by the time I was, like, a teenager, my mom was, like, kind of done bossing people around. She's like, whatever, dude, just go do whatever the fuck. Please don't get arrested. I'm like, all right, cool. Yeah, so, I mean, shit was good. Like, we lived in a small apartment, and we got by. Like, you know, didn't have fancy things, but, like, I have no... complaints, you know?
Yeah.
I think it's cool because, like, I don't know. Like, now I'm who I am now. I appreciate things a little more and stuff like that. So,
yeah.
I think it's good.
Was she the only guy into rock music? Or, like, traditional rock?
A little bit, but I didn't really know it at the time. Like, when I was, like, a teenager and I was, like, playing in bands and stuff, like, I don't know, the old, like, classic rock stuff was, like, not cool to listen to, you know? And, like, I didn't really pretend to, like, be someone I wasn't, but...
What was your era, like, when you were young? Like, nu metal?
A little nu metal in the beginning, like...
Or, like, emo?
Like, okay, so, like, I started really getting into music probably around, like, fifth grade is when I, like, started listening to Blink-182, but, and I got that CD, like, on accident, so... Me and my friends in fifth grade were really into, like, comedy CDs. So when we'd all hang out, we'd listen to, like, Adam Sandler or, like...
On a CD.
Yeah, like, Jerky Boys. Yeah, like, prank call stuff. Like,
okay.
Like, stupid shit. We loved watching Billy Madison and stuff. Like, we thought Adam Sandler was hilarious. So my friend, it was, like, his birthday, and there was a store there called Newbury Comics. And they had, like, a promotion thing where it's, like, certain CDs had, like, this... like their logo sticker on it, and if you got it you would get another CD for free. So I went to buy him like an Adam Sandler CD, whatever, because that was like the kind of shit we listened to, whatever, just like for fun. And they're like, okay, well, this has a sticker, so like there's this rack over here, you can pick a CD. And so like the cover of Dude Ranch record is just like a bowl with like big balls, you know, and I was like, this looks funny.
Is it a different one from the cow one, or is it?
No, that's the cow one. Yeah,
it's a cow with, or is it a bowl?
I think it's a bowl.
Oh, I just had a digital bowl about this.
I can't like picture it in my head. Yeah. It's all black, and I think it's got horns or something.
Is that one song with Josie?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, Dude Ranch. And yeah, so it's like the cover of the record is like a cow looking back at you. He's got his big butthole and his like balls just hanging there. And I just, I thought it was like a funny CD.
Yeah.
So I got it like thinking it was going to be comedy or something, you know, but it wasn't. And it was just tight. So I got that. But then, I watched a lot of MTV, of course. So then like once like Korn and like Linkin Park and Papa Roach like came out, I was all about that.
Yeah.
Fucking fucked around with that for a while. And then... And then when Tony Hawk's Pro Skater came out, that's when I jumped back into the punk stuff.
Oh, okay.
And then it's been punk pretty much since, you know?
Yeah.
But, like, the classic rock stuff, like, I got into that way later in life. Just, I didn't really appreciate it when I was younger. I liked, you know, the pop punk hooks and the leads and the, you know, short songs that made me laugh and stuff. But, actually, to be honest, I didn't really start listening to classic rock until I started smoking weed.
Oh, shit.
So that was like, I moved out of my mom's house when I was 18. I started smoking weed like when I was like 19, 20.
You never drank or smoked before that? Or
I drank a little bit, but never smoked weed ever before that.
Why?
I had some.
Because your mom or just.
No. So I didn't do it because in my high school, the only kids who smoked weed were like the hippies who like. They didn't look like they had any fun at all. Like, I don't know. There's some hippies that are, like, all happy and stuff. But these hippies were, like, not stoked on life. I don't know. They were, like, they seemed sad to me. And I was like, they smoke weed. I don't want to look like...
Like, Oasis-looking dudes or like, old school hippies?
Like street hippies. Like...
Like Led Zeppelin.
SF, like, hate street hippies that, like, live on the street, you know, like, wear sandals to school.
Yeah.
Why would you wear sandals to school, bro? I don't want to look at your feet all day, you know? Then they don't care, so I don't know. To me, it's just like, I was like, well, I don't know, like, weed seems dirty because these motherfuckers who smoke weed, like, look filthy, you know?
That's the craziest thing I ever heard. I won't smoke weed because of hippies. That's fucking wild.
Yeah, dude, I mean... I don't know, like, I didn't realize that the bands I listened to smoked weed. Like, I didn't realize that. I just thought, you know, like, if you smoke weed, you're like, you know, you, like, listen to Sublime and like, Fish or something, you know? And I didn't want to listen to Fish, so I didn't want to smoke weed. But then, and I started smoking weed, and I went on this tour, and the thing was, is we got, like, a conversion van, which is, like, a much smaller van. It's, like, for families to, like, travel on vacation and, like, be comfortable. But it was like all we could afford, so we got that. And then basically, like, there's the two captain's chairs, and then there'd be like a bench in the middle, and then a bench on the end, and then that's it. That's the van. So in order to like load it with gear, we took the middle bench out, and we put the like all the gear like in between the back bench and the front seats. So it was like stacked. So if you were in the back, no communication with the front at all.
Yeah.
So basically, all we had like in the back to like. Do is like listen to iPods and stuff, so you know when you're driving like 5 hours, like you're just gonna listen to whatever. And we were smoking a ton of weed at the time, so that's when I started listening to Led Zeppelin and like Pink Floyd and stuff like that. So then I got really into that shit. And that was
the,
yeah.
And that was for the band. What's the band? Sorry, again.
So I was in a band called Bravo Fucking Bravo.
Yeah, was that 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 was that, for that part? For that band or
no? No. So I was in that band for a few years, and then. And we did a few big tours, but then after I quit that band and joined this other band called Antietam.
Antietam?
Yeah.
What was that?
So that was like one of those like noodly screamo type bands.
Okay.
Like
so you're like into everything.
Big build-ups and stuff. Yeah. Like some like a little blast beat here and there, and then like, you know, like a nice pretty part. Exactly.
I imagine that like little like and then whining and then like scream.
A little screamy, a little singing, yeah. No, that band was actually sick and like very creative, like the people that
did you change your look like with every like new phase you had, or like you always had the same look?
Because
I know there's people out there like a lot of like do you know Sammy Winston?
Yeah.
Like I don't know him, but I've heard of him, and like every like, and one thing is someone I like hear about him, it's like, oh, like he had to like he will go into this look, like, you know, full persona, and like go into a whole new persona.
I didn't really do that very much Mostly because I just didn't really care. Like, I just wore what was, like, comfortable.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess, like, I would follow some trends every now and then. Like, when flannels, like, I remember, like, the early, like, 2010s, like, when the hundreds, like, blew up, I was, like, all about the hundreds flannels and stuff.
Oh, shit.
So I was about that shit. But, I mean, I guess a little bit. Like, you know, I had, like, some phases.
But not like you went to scream and then, like, had, like, short hair, crop top, and then, like, you got into rock and then you, like, had like, I don't know.
When I in my first couple bands or whatever, they were like pop punk bands, so I dressed like Blink-182, you know, and I had like the hat, you know, to the side, and like the big socks and the Dickies, and then when I joined my first like heavy rock type band, Bravo, I wore like skinny girl jeans and like small shirts.
So
a little bit, yeah.
Yeah.
And then the next band, I was in that band when I was like working at American Apparel back in the day when that was cool. So I started wearing a lot of those clothes. So yeah, it all kind of fit together. it changed, yeah.
So what was the urge to start touring? You just want to get out of the town?
Dude, yeah. I mean, like, we never went on vacation. Yeah. Like, my mom can't afford to do shit. Yeah. I never left Massachusetts, like, until, like, there's New Hampshire, which is like where I grew up. It's like 20 minutes to the New Hampshire border, so that's like not even really a different state.
Like Oxnard, type thing. Like from here to Oxnard.
Yeah. So it's like we would go to New Hampshire like every once in a while. You know, I also had family that lived up there, so it's like we went back and forth between that. But yeah. I remember the first time I ever left the state was I went to Connecticut for a show. There's like this fest called Friendly Fest, and it was like bands like Majority Rule and. Just like kind of like Level Plane, Hot Cross. I don't know if you know those bands, but
like hardcore punk.
Yeah, they were like, yeah. So like there was like this label called Level Plane Records out of New York, and it was like Seisha was like their first.
Damn, I don't know any of them.
Okay, so this is like old school. Like this is like what Touche started listening to, and then they started Touche. You know?
Okay, like early 2000s hardcore.
Yeah.
Artsy hardcore.
Yeah, okay. Totally, yeah.
I only know like the big ones, like American Nightmare, Converge, and like
a little different.
I know there's a video of Jerry from, is that his name, Jerry from Touche More?
Jeremy.
He did a video and he's like, here's like my top hardcore bands, and they're like all like that era, and I'm like, that's the one era I'm like not really like, I don't really know anything about.
Yeah, it's a little cutty, dude, because like, I mean, back then the internet wasn't really a thing, so like all these things kind of got lost over time in a way.
Well, Scott Vogel was saying that like when Terror started, like right when Terror started, it was like he like was like, oh, like what happened to like 100 Demons Buried Alive type hardcore, and it was just like at the time it was like, oh, like it was a lot of artsy shit, so he wanted like more like Capital H hardcore.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
So
I mean, like I started touring because like I wanted to like see the world. Yeah, yeah. It's like I know you can do that in music, you know, like people want you to, you know, if they like your band, they'll bring you somewhere, you know, like they'll book you a show. You know, I mean, back when I first started touring is like, you know, you'd meet people off like the internet, like MySpace, like LiveJournal or whatever, and make that connection, and then like I booked a lot of shows in high school. That was like my thing. Is like, I was like the guy. Like I would find these cuddy like little venues at skate parks or like halls that you would rent out, and I would start doing shows there. And we'd have like a couple good shows, and then like another band would. Somebody would be there and they would talk to somebody and then they would book their own show. And then that show, I was like very protective of the places I booked shows at. So I was like, I like never really enjoyed the show because I was always like making sure people were like not fucking around or like whatever.
People who book shows shit.
Yeah.
I don't know what you call bookers or like agents. Yeah. Booking agents shit.
Yeah. So, but then like once other people started booking shows there, they didn't give a shit. So then things would get broken or whatever, like a table or whatever would get broken.
Oh, like moshing or?
Yeah.
Like
people just, yeah, just young kids just being stupid and shitty, you know? And then, yeah.
What was like, a big band from Massachusetts at the time? Like a hardcore band? No, none? No.
I mean, at the time, I mean, there was like, yeah, there's like, Bury Your Dead. Converge.
Converge is from Massachusetts?
They're from Massachusetts.
Oh, yeah, I know that. Okay, that's cool. Okay, yeah, so it's not like you guys had it bad.
No. Death Threat?
Death Threat's from Connecticut, no?
Yeah, but that's New England.
Okay. So, like, I don't really know anything
about it. Yeah, but I mean, that's like, that's. Like
California,
Massachusetts to New England is an hour away.
Yeah, that's so like California type of thing, where it's like the Bay, LA,
exactly. Oxnard, like, so Connecticut is like the Bay in the California, not like the Bay, but it's like, you know, it's like the same shit. So
okay,
like,
yeah.
They're from over here, but it's like we're all still close.
Yeah,
it's
Or you could book like a little mini tour, like and like it won't like a weekend thing.
Yeah, Black My Heart was a big one.
Oh, Black My Heart. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, you guys were pretty. You had a good.
We did not hang out with those bands though. Those bands didn't fuck with us.
They were older or
they. They were tougher. Okay. I was not in any tough bands, you know?
They're like, why? Like, also, they were like very like.
I don't
like you because you guys are like.
Because we didn't have breakdowns or something, you know?
Oh, okay.
Which is fine.
Okay. The year later, like, did you ever meet one of these dudes? And they're like, I'm like, hey, remember me?
No, because we never really, I never knew any of those people.
Okay.
Like, you know,
did you know that they didn't like you? Or, like, was there, like, a very, like...
Well, it wasn't that they didn't like us. It was more like we weren't on their radar. Because we were, like, in a different type of scene. You know, we were, like, small, like, basement show type band. You know?
More punky.
It was hardcore, but, yeah, but definitely punk, more punk aesthetics. Like, you know, like... Those types of bands that would play like these like legit venues, you know, there was this big venue in Boston called the ICC, which was like a church.
Yeah.
But they had this giant room, and that's where a lot of hardcore shows were.
But isn't Death Row like a little bit older than you guys?
Yeah.
So by the time you were like coming out, like they were like already like.
They were, yeah, they've been around.
Yeah, yeah.
With Honor was a big one.
Oh, okay. Black My Heart is older than you, right? Like that bad?
I think we're about. I mean, we're probably the same age, people.
Okay, okay.
But yeah, we are, yeah.
Okay.
But.
Did you ever hold the resentment against hardcore at the time?
Nah, dude, I listened to that shit, but like the people I wrote music with didn't. They liked other music.
Were you ever like, am I kind of like, wish I could go like two step over there and like on the other
side
of town?
Dog, I'm not lying. I want to be in a heavy band so bad. It's been one of the things I've always wanted to
do. You're still not in a heavy band? You've never had a heavy band yet?
The heaviest band was like Culture Boost when we first started. We were like pretty hardcore. So like our demo and like our 7-inch, still like no breakdowns or anything, but heavier and like faster and stuff.
Like a Hatebreed type band. You want to start a Hatebreed type band?
I want to be in like a band like Dead Heat.
Like metal hardcore?
Like metal hardcore crossover, yeah. But like with sick breakdown parts and like...
So like metal for hardcore kids?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. That'd be kind
of
hard.
Like me and a couple of the guys in Mutt, we like during the pandemic, we got together and we wrote like a bunch of songs that were like the hardcore metal crossover thrash type stuff. And then we set a recording date, and then like things kind of came up with some people, and then it just kind of like dwindled out, unfortunately. But
I feel like it'd be better more like a power tripist, like
bingo,
like Dead Heat's a little bit more
like thrash metal,
tighter. If that makes sense, a power trip is more like rock and roll. But it still has like breakdowns.
Yeah,
I mean power trip is amazing, but
power trip is amazing. Basically we wanted to be like the new power trip in a way. Yeah. You know, so like
yeah, because power trip is a little bit more free, a little bit more loose.
You know? Absolutely.
Like
you can add a little more of different influences into it.
Yeah, like you. I mean, like as soon as you said that, as soon as you said Dead Heat, reminded me of your Bad Budweiser guitar.
Yeah,
it reminded
me
of the that part of the. Swing it, and then it has like
swing of the
like it has a little like
yeah,
like that's a very like ooh, like Swing and Axe is like a hardcore sing along.
Yeah.
But then it also has somehow has that guitar part. Like that's kind of amazing.
Yeah. No, great fucking song.
Yeah, but so you started booking shows at a young age.
Yeah.
You started being in bands in general at a young age. And you also like wrestling, right?
Hell yeah.
So you've been like passionate for a while. Like, what do you think like that came from? Like just being hella passionate? Like coming from a single mom who's just like living day by day, dad who doesn't care, but yeah, and then you are very like, I love this, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
What do you think that came from? I mean, I'm pretty sure like, well, that's how I was born, but like.
No. I think what it kind of came from is like, so, like I had kids in my neighborhood that I hung out with, but I honestly like hung out a lot on my own, like just by myself. Like I had sisters, so we couldn't like do the same things together. Like we didn't have the same toys or whatever. Like I had little boy toys, you know, they had like girl toys and stuff. They're a little older than me, but like what, you know, honestly, like what I remember is just like, I liked to like chill at home and I liked to like make things. So like I would just come home and just draw, you know, like I would make my own posters for the wall or whatever. So if I liked, you know, the Foo Fighters, I would like, I had like there's tape or whatever, and I would just draw the cover like on like the opposite side of Christmas paper.
Yeah.
And I'd like make my own posters for my room and stuff. And then wrestling, it's like I just kind of came across it on TV once. Well, so like WrestleMania 14 was in Boston.
What year was that?
That was in 1998.
Oh shit, that's a lot.
So that's like, I saw wrestling on TV once and it kind of scared me because Mankind was on. And he looked like freaky. He had like parts shaved out of his head and stuff. Yeah. And like, I was like, did they rip his hair out? Like, I was a little kid who didn't understand what the fuck was going on. I was like, they ripped his hair out. Yeah. Like, I was just scrolling past and saw it. And it was just like a little scary. So I didn't really watch it. And then.
And your attitude ever. So yours is like the best one.
Yeah. So, and then in 98, because WrestleMania was in Boston, it was like so huge. Everybody was talking about it. Everybody was buying the pay-per-view, regardless of if you watched regularly or not. So that was like the first wrestling I ever really watched, which is because
you
like,
bought the pay-per-view too.
You
saw someone
like
else.
My mom's boyfriend did.
Yeah.
And he's like, we gotta watch it. It's in Boston. You know, it's like the biggest thing. It's like the Super Bowl or whatever. Yeah. You know, that's how they treated it. Yeah. So it's like, so it was on and like, you know, like everybody was watching it. So I just pulled up a chair and watched too. And I was like, what is this shit? Like, I didn't know what was going on.
Who headlined that year?
That was Stone Cold versus Shawn Michaels for the title with Mike Tyson as the special enforcer, which means he just like hung out outside the ring. He was just like there to like get some cameras there, you know, and some eyeballs on it. But I mean, like, it was a great pay-per-view. There was like the first ever dumpster match, you know, with the New Age Outlaws and then Cactus Jack Terry Funk, which
was the hardcore title. No, the hardcore title was around. No, the
wasn't
the,
around yet.
The 24/7 title was it around then?
No, 24/7 title was only a couple years old.
No. There was one, and was it called the same thing?
So the hardcore title was eventually defended 24/7.
Okay.
But that was like at the end of 99, right? Or something. Yeah, 99, 2000.
Okay.
Yeah, I started watching in 98. It was still like kind of like they were still getting to the Attitude Era then.
So what era was that?
I mean, technically, I guess people say that the Attitude Era started like after Survivor Series 97, so like that technically would be, but to me it's like Attitude Era was like
2000s,
like the day after that.
Yeah.
Like when Stone Cold was a champ, there was no more Shawn Michaels, DX came together because DX was just Triple H and Shawn Michaels at the time. So like the next day X-Pac joins, like the Outlaws join, there's China, you know, and then like they start bringing in like these new people like Val Venus and like Hardcore Holly. And
it's crazy, you're like a whole because when
Rock,
I got
that's when The Rock started coming up was like the day after. Like that's what I consider Attitude Era. Like there's definitely a certain date when people think it starts, but it's like, I don't know, it kind of starts like when The Rock was starting to come up, in my opinion.
It's crazy because you're a whole era behind me, because I grew up in the Ruthless Aggression era. So my era was when DX like reunited.
Yeah,
that was my shit. Or like when Spirit Squad.
Shit.
Yeah, like when all that shit was going on.
That's like 04, 05.
I'm born in 2003, so like 2006, I had like memory.
Yeah.
2005, I started tingling watching, I was like 2.
Uh-huh, yeah.
And then I watch Attitude Era now.
Yeah.
Just if I were to watch Ruthless Aggression, it's more for nostalgia.
Those documentaries are great. Those Ruthless Aggression documentaries they have.
Yeah, but the Attitude Era is just better. Like, it just looks cooler. Like, everything's just better.
It's like,
that's WWE, like, when they, like, just perfection. Like,
well, because at the time too, like they weren't really making that much money, so it was like it was like they still like didn't have like the light. It wasn't such a big production, the Attitude Era, so it was like really like you know, minimal stage. Like, they had the big screen, but, like, they didn't have a lot of lights in the arenas. Like, they didn't have, like, they weren't showboating in a way. Yeah. Like, Ruthless Aggression, they started, like, putting money into the production. So there's, like, it's bright as shit. Like, you know, everything was clean looking.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, even the day wrestling started dying was when, you know, the Ruthless Aggression, they had the Raw, the, like steel, but it was, like, you know, like, fake steel. You know what I'm talking about? Like, the little, like, it was, like, shit. Before they went to, like, screens, like, to, like, yeah, you know, you remember that,
yeah.
It was still the Fist.
Yeah.
But then once they, like, you know how both Raw and SmackDown just had, like, the screen.
Yeah.
And red and blue, that's, like, when it just, like.
Yeah.
It died.
Yeah. It definitely died, yeah.
Yeah. But, do you still like wrestling?
Yeah.
Do you like WWE?
I don't watch a lot of WWE.
It's not great.
No, it's not.
It's not good at all.
I mean, there's some, like, Seth Rollins is still killing in it, I think. I love Kevin Owens. I will watch WrestleMania for sure. I will always watch the Royal Rumble. I love AEW a lot. AEW is cool. It's kind of more my style because the guy who owns that company was an Attitude Era kid as well.
Yeah.
So he's like, I want wrestling my, you know, not his way, but, like, you know, WWE is still rated PG and, like, you know, they have investors that they need to please. So it's like there are people making decisions that don't care about the wrestling product, where, like, the owner of AEW is, like, he is a wrestling fan. Like, Vince McMahon's not a wrestling fan.
Yeah.
He is because he makes money off of it. But if he was making the same money off of doing anything else, he would probably do that.
Yeah.
You know, luckily Triple H is kind of stepping up in there, and he's a wrestling fan, which is good, which is why there's, like, all these indie guys that got signed to WWE for, like, a couple years there. But now that AEW is out, it's like you have Tony Khan, who's, like, a wrestling fan.
You let me know if I'm wrong. I feel like, I don't know if it's because I'm getting older, and obviously you get jaded, but I just have this, like, I've always, like, said it, I was like, there was just, like, wrestlers back then had way better characters. Like, now it's like, no matter how good the wrestler is, or, like, how good he could do his promo or anything, like, it just, like, I don't know, like, wrestlers back then had a more, like, A, was believable, and, like, just overall, like, a better character. Now it's, like, either too, like, just normal or too goofy.
Yeah. I mean, one thing that's definitely, like...
one thing I feel McMahon does right is how to build a character.
Sometimes, yeah.
Like, I feel like a lot of the, he knows how to shape, like, mold it well.
He is an insane person about, like, yeah, about, like, the little details. Like, he is definitely... I listen to a lot of wrestling podcasts, and there are people who are like, you know, Vince is, like, he sees things just, like, a little bit different. Like, somebody will have, like, a whole thing. He'll be like, okay, why don't you do this? And then that's when it, like, clicks and it works the best, you know?
Yeah,
when he just gives, like, a little bit of that advice or whatever. Like, the difference definitely is AEW, they allow the characters to create their own... Or they allow the wrestlers to create their own characters and have their own, like, promos and stuff. Like, WWE is, like, they're trying to make, like movie characters.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They're trying to, like, make their own thing because they want to own the likeness and the product, and they want to sell merchandise for the rest of their lives or whatever. But yeah, AEW, they bring in wrestlers that are, like, already exist on the independent scene. They just bring them in as who they are, you know?
But I feel like, that's, like, I know it sounds like an asshole, but, like, something that just does feel like, that McMahon, or not specifically McMahon, but, like, that, like do this instead, or like, that little adjustment helps. You know what I mean? Like, because I think wrestlers that, from just meeting some wrestlers outside of wrestling shows, from, like small wrestling shows, a lot of them, like... And I think I heard on another podcast too, is like, they are so focused on, like, the actual, like, you know, the technique of being a wrestler.
Yeah.
That they don't, like, pay attention to, like,
the character.
Outside world. You know what I mean? Like, outside world shit. So a lot of them, like, have a very, like, nerdy, like, you know what I mean? Like, if you were to build a wrestler, I'm pretty sure it'd be a little bit cooler because you, like, you know about other things. You know what I mean?
Right.
But unlike wrestlers who are just focused on, like, the technique itself, and when it comes time to build a character, they kind of don't. I mean, it sounds like they don't kind of don't know, or, like, they just don't have the.
Well, here's something you gotta consider: is back in the day before wrestling was, like, such a huge thing, to be a wrestler, you wanted to be a wrestler so bad that you lived, breathed it. Like, you sacrificed your family, you sacrificed your financial situation, like, you were on the road, like, And before, like, the internet and stuff, it's like, that's all that mattered was wrestling. So you'd go in a car and you would just talk wrestling to other wrestlers. And, like, you'd be, you know, like, you'd, all the wrestlers, like, were basically touring bands back then. Like, yeah, they were just going all around the country. They'd go to one territory, then they'd go to the next. And it's like, you were just surrounded by wrestling all the time. So that's all you did was think about your character. And, like, that was the most important thing. Now it's like, you know, like, wrestlers are, like, you know, they can do other things besides, they want to be actors, they want to fucking, you know, be television hosts or whatever. Yeah, they want to do music. So it's like, I guess it has turned into more of an athleticism thing, because that's kind of what wrestling fans want too. Like, if you watched a wrestling match from like the late 80s, you'd be bored as shit. Yeah, because they're slow. And it's like, their thing back in the day was to tell a story, so there has to be like an arc, you know, and all that stuff. And it's like, now a lot of old school wrestlers, the reason why they don't like people like the Young Bucks, and they don't like, you know, like people who do 100 things when they can do 10, is because they think that that's like not the psychology of wrestling. But it's like, these days, the psychology of wrestling is to entertain the fans. And it's like, the more that they go, oh, or like get up out of their seat when someone's jumping off of a fucking cage, like that's what people are there for now, is like the big moments in a way, you know?
Yeah.
So I mean, I guess like character kind of goes secondary to like the athleticism in a way. But like back in the day, it's like, bro, when you had like Andre the Giant, like, you think Andre the Giant went to the fucking gym, fool? Like, hell no. Like, they're like big motherfuckers, like one man gang and shit. Like, that fool was like 400 pounds, and like, he could run, but like, he didn't drop kick or do shit like that. Yeah. Like, this is like, you know, so wrestling's changed for sure. But yeah.
All right, back to music. It's just a lot of people are gonna be like, I don't give a fuck about wrestling.
You never know, man. There's some like secret wrestling fans out there.
Yeah, but it's like, not. I wish it was more common, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Like, wrestling is sick. Like, a lot. Well, one thing that always gets, like, you like wrestling? I like wrestling, sick. And then they're like, WWE, John Cena. I'm like, no. Like, oh, well, yeah, but like.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
It's just like, it's like saying, like, I like hardcore, and it's like, like, go, it's like, yeah, but like, you know, I also want to talk about like,
yeah,
like everything. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, you know, like me, actual wrestling.
I like punk, but I only listen to Green Day.
Yeah. 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 Or like Blink, or, you know, like,
yeah.
But, yeah. So Culture Abuse started when?
2013. Yeah. Yeah.
It would have been 10 years.
Yeah.
Damn. So that was your first, like, band that kind of, like...
I was, like, doing something, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because all the other bands I was in, like... I mean, in Massachusetts, like, I felt that there wasn't much going on there as far as, like, a music scene or like, even an art scene. That was, like, the reason I moved to California, was because I was just made fun of for, like, being, like, a creative kid who, like, made...
They made fun of you.
Yeah, like my friend.
Damn,
like,
really?
Made fun of me, yeah. You know, like, not like...
No,
really,
no, no, like, I mean, I understand.
But, like, I would show it to them and they'd be like, I don't really get it. Or whatever, you know, they'd be like, you know, they'd just, like, they'd make, like, a sly comment. You know, that wasn't meant to hurt my feelings in a way. It'd just be like, it wasn't like, oh, cool, dude. Like, it wasn't, like, super...
I was like, we don't give a fuck, basically.
I would say they weren't super supportive of it. Like, you know, they're like, shouldn't you be at work? You know, like, I don't know. Like, that's kind of how people are out there.
Yeah.
So, and then I met, like, the Comadre guys, like, this band from California.
Comadre,
yeah. They're from the Bay, and they were like the first people from California that I knew. Like, we played some shows with them on like a tour in 2005, like when I was like touring with Bravo, and then we became friends, and like that's how things worked then, is like it was all DIY. So like we met each other on the road, and then they'd hit us up on the internet and be like, hey, we're doing another tour, can you book us a show in Mass? And I'd be like, yeah, we're doing a tour, can you book us a show in California? And it would just be like, yeah, like, let's just do that. So then we became friends for a couple of years, and we just kind of got closer and closer. And then, like, the more I got to know them, I'm like, wow, you guys just do everything I want to do, but, like, I don't have the resources to do it out here, because there's not, like, art stores everywhere. There's not, like, art galleries even.
Or even,
you know?
Like, knowing people, like and you kind of, like, lift each other up.
Yeah.
Like,
so, I mean, like, so my bands, like, basically we would play the same show, we'd play with the same bands, the same venues, the same people. And it took a while to, like, realize that that was, like, what was happening. Because, I mean, like, when it's just all your friends, you're, like, stoked on it. But then when you start getting older and you're like, I want this band to, like, do something. And it's like, well, the only people who know about us are, like, our friends, you know? Yeah. And, like...
So how old were you when you moved to California? 26?
I was 23 when I moved to California. It was 2010.
2010.
And then I met Issa, who plays drums in Mutt. And they're also in a band called Dead to Me that was on, like, Fat Records and stuff. And then
Fat Records, the DinoFX label?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, shit, really?
Yeah. And then, so we started making art together and stuff like that. And when I moved to California, I wasn't really even, like, looking to be in a band. I just wanted to, like, make art, like, with the Comadre guys and, like, do graffiti stuff and just kind of, like, do that shit out here. Because I didn't, like, I don't know. You have to, like, really have a connection with somebody to, like, start kind of, like, being a band with them. Like, you really have to kind of get along. You have to vibe really well because, like, you're around each other a lot, you know, and it's like people are putting in other creative stuff, and it's like you have to have like the same kind of, you gotta want the same the things, have emoji. The same, yeah, right, yeah, yeah, you gotta have like, yeah, exactly like that. So, so I like, you know, I didn't really like think about starting a band really ever when I was out here, and then David, who was the singer of Culture Abuse, who like wrote all the songs and stuff, he was in a band that broke up called All Teeth, and then he started writing these Culture Abuse songs, and I had met him a couple times, like, at parties and stuff, and, like, I knew him, but I didn't really know any, like, ain't really much about him. And then, yeah, one day he just, like, he's like, hey, I'm going to, like, I'm in San Francisco, and I'm going to go to, like, this practice space, like, with Issa, and, like, we're just going to, like, I have some songs, we're going to, like, try to work them out, you want to come by? And at first I said no, I was like, I just got back from, like, a trip, and it was, like, my first day back at work, and, like, I had this girlfriend I was really serious with at the time, and, like, I was gone for, like, a week and a half without her. So I was like, I said no, because I was like, she's going to want to, like, hang out with me tonight, you know, yeah, like, we haven't seen each other in a week, I can't be like, I'm going to go to this band practice, babe, like, sorry.
That I just started.
Like, yeah, right, like, not even a thing, I'm just going to go hang out with, like, these goobers over here, and so I texted her, I, like, kind of texted her, like, what was, like, I was just like, hey, like, you know, what do you want to do tonight? And she was like, I don't know, like, whatever, and I was just like, okay, cool. And she's, and somehow the conversation was like, yeah, David asked me to, like, play music, but, like, you know, I know that you probably want to hang out. And she's like, hey, like, I know that you want to, like, I know that you've been itching to be in a band again, so, like, go do it. Like, we got forever, you know, like, we'll hang out tomorrow. And I'm like, all right, cool. So that was the first Culture Abuse practice. And then it was basically, like, fucking, it was, the songs were so dope. I was super into them, so.
When you moved to, like, just do art and, like, do all this stuff, do you ever have some sort of, like, I don't know, like, fear, or, like, not fear, but, like, was there, like, I don't know how to explain, like...
So, before I moved to California, I had a lot of fear about art, because I thought everything needed to, like, I don't know, it seemed like everything had to be perfect and really good, and...
Or don't do it at all type of thing?
Yeah, or, like, I don't know, like, because I wasn't surrounded by... I surrounded myself, like, with, like, graffiti and stuff, and, like, I watched, like, some, there were some documentaries that I would watch about some artists and stuff, but, like, you know, besides graffiti, like, the New England didn't really have, I didn't know of any art scene there, like, there was no art shows, like, there was just graffiti, like, and graffiti was, like, really, really big there for a while, and so I did, like, one art show there, but it was, like, at a place, like, a cafe thing that I worked at, so basically I just, like, hung up stuff on the wall, it wasn't, like, a
real... The job you worked at.
Yeah, like, yeah, the job I worked at, but then once I moved to California, man, like, all the people I was with were so supportive, and, like, if you'd make anything, they'd be hyped on it, you know? And, like, well, I was so used to, like, making, like, spending hours working on something, I'd show it to my friend, you know, and he'd be like, cool, man, good job. What does it mean? You know? And it's like, what does it mean anything? It's just an interpretation. Yeah, it's just interpretation, you know, it's expression. And then coming over here, it's like, I would make a little, like, zine, and, like, my friends would be like, dude, can I have one? Like, sick, you know? Like, I started making zines when I was living in Massachusetts, too, and, like, I was just giving them out for free, but, like, I couldn't give them away.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I'd be like, you want to, I took these Polaroids, and I put them in this book, you want to check them out? And my friends would be like, man, I don't really know, like, I don't know, what am I going to do?
Yeah, no, that's it, yeah.
You know, and it's like, these people weren't, like, collectors, or, like, you know, they... At least at the time, like, I go back to visit now, it's much different. All my friends are very supportive, and, like, they buy all the stuff I make online. Like, they buy any zine I make, like, my friends buy. But, like, at the time, it just didn't make sense to them, like, what I was doing. And, like, one of the things, too, that was crazy was when I worked at American Apparel, like, Vice had, like, some deal with them or whatever. I think because American Apparel, like, just took out the most ads and, like, Vice, they would just ship Vice magazines, like, to all the American Apparel stores for free, because Vice was, like, a free magazine. I don't even know if they make print issues anymore, but they did at the time. And Vice was, like, they turned me on to people like Dash Snow, who's, like, this artist from New York who was, like, a big graffiti writer.
Oh, yeah, that's fucking sick. Yeah, yeah. I can imagine, yeah.
And, like, Jason Dill and stuff. Oh, like, so they would have, like, features about them, like, as artists, like, in their magazines. And that's when I was, like, this is, like, what I want to do, you know? Like, I want to, like, meet these guys and hang out. Like, I want to, like, live like these motherfuckers, like, in, like, a cool apartment with, like, all your friends, and you're all just making stuff all day. Like, that's what I want. And You know, that's like my friends weren't those types of people. Like they, you know, we listened to music and like we hung out and we partied, but it was, you know, it was more about like just sports and work and stuff, you know? Yeah. So,
I mean, that's kind of brave. Like I think about myself, like, no, I'm also in LA. So But, like sometimes I'm like, that's the biggest thing with me right now. It's like, I love like art and like, you know, zines and but not everything, but sometimes I'm worried about like, damn, I should be focusing on like what the fuck am I gonna do with my life, you know what I mean? Like,
and to be honest, man, like especially living in Massachusetts, like I would watch MTV or whatever and I'd see these bands, but none of there were like the biggest band from Massachusetts are Aerosmith and Godsmack. Ooh. You know, and it's like that's not happening for me because I'm not in those types of bands, you know. So it's like
you like Aerosmith?
Yeah, I got stupid ass Aerosmith.
I love Aerosmith.
Yeah, dude, I love Aerosmith. But you know, like, I mean, like, you would see these people like being like, you know, like, make, like, come up or whatever, and it's like, I don't see that for myself where I'm at. Like, I just knew that, and like, it is crazy because once I moved out here, everything is so accessible, and it's like this is like a hub of like music and art. So it's like, you meet the right people, and then all of a sudden you're in like this world that's like. If I was just, because of the way the internet is now, I think you could do this type of stuff anywhere as long as you, like, you know, like, if people want to see it, they'll find it or whatever. I don't know if, like, people share it and stuff, it's different. But, like, that back then, this, like, the internet wasn't the same thing.
No, no, no. Yeah.
So it's like, there wasn't sharing. Like, you know, you if you wanted to share something, you'd have to, like, save an image and, like, email it to somebody instead of fucking just sending it in a phone, you know? So it's like...
Now you can just on Google, like, tab.
Exactly, and just send it right there. Everything's so accessible, so it's like... Maybe that's, like, one of the big differences is, like, once... When I moved out here, it's like, they still had, like... I think the second iPhone came out. Like, so the iPhone... I got my first...
I saw the iPhone 3 one time, and I was like, whoa.
Dude,
like,
that was my first iPhone. Yeah, it's crazy small, and, like, everything looks chubby. Ridiculous on it. Yeah, it's huge.
I saw it, no, but, like, it's crazy because you had it, but when I saw it, I was like, oh, this is, like, a, like, history.
Yeah.
And then, like, dude, when I saw it, I was like...
I still have it, too. I keep, shit. Like, I have all my old iPhones. I don't know why. I
to just, me, the oldest iPhone is, like, the 6.
Yeah. Yeah, I had the iPhone 3, which was, like, the first... Want, like, I don't know, it was like the first one you could take videos on and stuff. I don't know.
So the first iPhone you couldn't take videos on?
Maybe, I don't know. I don't know, dude. I remember. It was just crazy.
I mean, but do you think, like, I mean, yeah, the internet, like, everything's so accessible. Anyone could find a documentary now and just get inspired and et cetera. Anybody could do
it. Yeah, yeah.
But I feel like that just makes it kind of a little bit, like too easy. Because, like, I mean, I can't say shit because I'm also from the internet era, but. I did grow up without the internet. I grew up in South Central where it's like, it's so, like, everybody thinks of LA and they think of like Echo Park, Highland Park, and all the fools were like LA or like, you know, like LA, whatever. I'm like from LA, but they're actually from somewhere else. Like, only go to Highland Park, Echo Park, and never go to South Central. Because South Central is like, people have two ideas of LA. LA of like, I'm gonna be an artist and I'm gonna be like in Hollywood and be an actor. And then there's like the ghetto LA, like, you know, like South Central, which is like a whole nother world.
Yeah.
But one thing I do realize is like, damn, like, no, like, it's kind of too easy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Now it's like, I feel like everybody's into art, everybody's into, like, all the shit because it looks cool. Like,
right.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I'm pretty sure, like you say, when you come from, like the your homies, like, not supporting, now they support. It's like, now there's the reinsurance from the internet. You know what I mean?
For sure.
Before, if you like something, you like something. No, yeah. Also, like, even with rock music, like, one thing, in high school, I used to be like, wear, like, anything from Rings of Saturn shirts to like Guns N' Roses shirt, people be like, oh, what the fuck is that? Like, why are you wearing that?
Yeah.
But when the TikTok Deftones thing happened and everybody is now wearing eyeliner and like listen has a vintage Korn shirt, now a lot of the kids that I went to high school with, when we were in high school together, they were like, you're a fucking, you know, F word or whatever. And now they're like, you know, like, it's cool.
Yeah.
Like, that's like the trendy thing.
I know.
Like, now, like, before, if you had black, green hair for a girl, you were like, you know, like, what the fuck? But now, like, every girl has that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
It pisses me off.
It's true. It's true. Like, you can be anybody you want to be these days, and it's awesome.
Yeah.
You know, like.
Nobody wanted to have an identity back then. Now everybody's looking for an identity.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree with that for sure.
But, I mean, getting closer to wrap this up, I don't want to take too much of your time. You're going to play, like, what time? Oh, yeah, you got to play, like...
Oh, doors are, like, at 6. We play at 9.
Oh, shit.
Okay. Yeah.
I got to get out of here because...
Yeah.
I'm not 21. My cops are going to come.
Is it 21 plus?
Yeah.
Oh, dang, my bad.
I mean, also, Candy's playing tonight.
Oh, for real?
Yeah, you guys should have played with Candy.
Oh, dang, I didn't know that. Yeah. Is Bib playing too?
Yeah.
No way.
You're like, son of a bitch.
Damn, I saw them and sat. Where are they playing?
Tonight in Boyle Heights.
In Boyle Heights?
I mean, the show starts at 8.
No. Oh, cool. That's good.
So, no, first band goes on at 9. So when you're playing, oh, yeah, so you can see them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we have we're going to go to Joshua Tree after this.
Oh, yeah.
And we already have the Airbnb, so it's like, we're already paying for today. You know? We're not even there. So.
So you're 36.
Yeah.
You were in a poppin' band. You've been in a lot of bands.
Yeah.
You have a brand. You have another band.
Yeah.
What do you think is next? You're going to have kids, get married, move back to Massachusetts.
Nah.
Work at an office, cut your hair.
I have, my girlfriend currently already has kids, so I don't need to worry about that. She's got.
Oh, you're a stepdad?
Not technically. I'm dating someone.
You're the dad who stepped up.
I'm just there. I'm like the awkward boyfriend. They're like, who is this guy?
Why do you have long hair?
Why do I have long
hair? No, like the kid is like, why do you have long hair?
Oh, right, yeah. Exactly. They think I'm some like freako kid. Especially because I drive that van. Like, I use that for the band, but like.
Oh, it's your personal car?
That's like what I use. Yeah, I mean, like, I don't drive very much. So it's like, you know, to get to her place, I got to drive.
Yeah.
So I pull up in that, and they're like, why is this kidnapper here, you know?
That's crazy. Can you pick up my kid? It's like, you, like some dude with long hair in the
van. Yeah, I'm like, what's up? Get in. It smells like weed in here.
Like, the teacher drops one day. Is that a tab of ass?
Yeah. I don't know. Like, yeah, I'm just doing my thing, bro. Like, I'm not looking for, like, marriage or nothing yet. I'm still trying to... I got some goals to reach, which is just... I don't know what they are technically. It's just like, I'd like to just to make music for like a living. It's stressful to do that, however, because like when you have to depend on being creative as like a job and like that's how your income comes in, I feel like I would just stress myself out and I wouldn't really be able to like do it. I'd be like, I don't know. Like,
yeah.
So like I always keep like a job just so like there's like a base income coming in.
I mean, does Outlaw make money?
Outlaw does well, yeah. I don't like keep. It's not like I like am making money. Everything that is made just goes back into it, you know. Because I don't know if you ever place an order, but like whenever I ship out an order, it's like I have like tons of stickers. I have pins. Like I get like like if I'm doing like a boot or whatever, like I'll get stickers made of that band, you know, or like patches or like. A pin or...
I remember when I bought one thing and it came with a bag and a bunch of cool shit.
Yeah, like posters. Like, I use any profits to, like, buy shit to put in for free. Because that's just how I've always done it, you know? And I don't know, like, in my opinion, if I order something from somebody online, I'm not necessarily, like, upset that it's just what I ordered. Like, if I order a shirt and then it's just a shirt in the bag, you're like, okay, cool. I mean, this is what I bought. But imagine...
Send a sticker.
Imagine, like, ordering a shirt, and then you get, like, a poster of the band that the shirt is of, and it's a different design than the t-shirt. It's, like, an old flyer that I, like, found and fixed up or made my own, like, combined a couple old flyers. Like, I did... When I did the Pantera thing, they had, like, a record release show for Cowboys from Hell, and it was two different flyers, and they were both... Had sick parts about them, so I mixed them together. But then I also made, like... Rest in Peace Dimebag like pins and like all kinds of stuff. Like the Blink 182 drop I did, I got vinyl stickers that were just the Blink old Blink logo. I got these little pins made of them, and then I found like this this press release that their first label put out when they had to add the 182.
Yeah.
They put out a press release, and so I found that, fixed that up like to make it look nice, and then I made copies of that, and like so it's like you order something from me, you get extra shit that you're not expecting, which is, I don't know, to me, if I was like a little kid or whatever,
yeah.
Or even as an adult, like, I remember when I placed an order with the hundreds online, I like, they have the comment section, I was like, send me a bunch of stickers, man, I'm gonna put them up all over my city, bro, I love the hundreds, send me all the stickers, it's like, I got like 4 stickers, and I was like,
fuck you.
I could be helping you guys out, so it's like, when I send out orders, man, I put so much shit in there, so people just get hyped and wanna buy again, you know, so it's like, yeah, I mean, Outlaw does well because I sell a good amount, so it's like I'm happy with the workload.
It's pretty cool for a DIY thing.
Yeah, and it's just me doing it, so yeah. It's like I design the shit, I put them online, you know, I order them from my homie Jimmy, shout out Edgeman Printing, from Detroit. He prints all my shit, he sends it back to me, I go through it, I take an inventory, I fold it all up, and then I ship out every order, like, all by myself. So it's like, it's a process, and it does take a little while because it is just me. And like, I have homies that would help, but it's like, I don't know, like, they're not really gonna enjoy doing that. I kind of enjoy putting packages together, but like, you know, my friends, they would come over to help me, to help me. They don't want to actually do the work, so it's like, I'm not gonna like actually force them to do something. Yeah. So it's like, I don't know, I'm just gonna do it because whatever. So sometimes when I do like an order, sometimes it takes like a month or two for it to get out, which is why I like to put the extra stuff in as like kind of like a thank you, like, you were patient, appreciate you, like, so, you know, here's some extra shit you didn't know you were actually getting. So I don't know. Yeah.
I mean, last question. Are we gonna do this or that? Wrap it up already because it's already. need to go walk my homie's dog.
Oh,
too.
For sure.
But yeah, I mean, have you ever like? Do you think would you ever do like just like buy a bunch of shirts, like buy them? All right, I know you have to like see how many orders come in. So,
like print my own shirts?
Yeah, maybe or like just like buy 100 shirts. Like, just print them already and then just hope they sell. Is that what I mean?
Oh, that's how I started doing it. But that's not a good, like, when I
feel like it'll work now. Cause you,
it might, yeah. It, yeah, now that there's more followers and shit like that. I did that with some hats. Like, so when I first started, that's how I thought it needed to be done, was like, you design the stuff, you get it printed, and then you do like a whole campaign. You go and you take photos of your homies wearing it. And then you post it and you do like a month from now, these are going to be online. And like, I did that. And then when I would do everything, I'd do the build up, I'd buy the shirts, and then I would take the photos and I'd do a campaign. But it was so small at the time that when I fucking actually put them out, it's like, I sold like five, and it's like, now I have 45 of these left, you know, like shit.
Yeah.
And
no, I feel like you'll do it now.
Like, yeah, I could. Like, I did these Stone Cold hats, and like, I just knew like they would sell. So I like, I ordered like 40 hats and then I put them online, and I already had them and they shipped out immediately, which is cool. But I mean, I don't know. I kind of like, I just like the way, cause then now I'm not like, I'm never, I order extras, just in case there's like a pop up or something to do someday, you know, like I've done one this past year, but like, I want to do more.
Yeah.
So I always order extras just in case there's like an event that I can be a part of. Like, I did the Metal Merchants thing down here.
That's
once.
Right. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
I already knew about it, but yeah.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. Sick. I bought a shirt there.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's, yeah. So I like to do stuff like that. So like, I just have like a little bit of stock, but like, I don't want to like, I don't know. It's cool. To me, it's like, I'm the only like instant gratification stuff that I'm like into or whatever, you know, like people like will sit there and dead scroll on Instagram, but like, I just like to I like to put the shirt up, have everyone be hyped on it, and then sell them. Like, I don't want to like buy so much of one shirt and then have to push it for months, you know, like to try and sell them all. It's like, hey, I still got these shirts left, you know? So it's like,
or just do the typical, like buy like 20 limited.
Yeah.
Or, like, just do very like, limited. And some, then just like, but don't say it's limited and then they'll sell and then reprint and then not reprint.
And then
just,
it's sold out and then you can hype it up. Yeah.
That's I feel like even like the little, like every bootleg, like
I have done that before. I did do that once when I got these hats and I took the Jawbreaker logo and I switched it to, so it said Lawbreaker.
Yeah.
And I got these hats made, but like, they weren't selling, so then I was like, sold out. And then everyone was like, oh man, I wanted to get one. And I was like, well, I ordered more, they'll be here in a week, you know. And then once I put those up, those sold. So it's,
but
like,
you got like stuff like the Guns N' Roses shit, the Stone Cold shit, like, uh-huh. I feel like there's like certain, like you're like, you're like you're your famous designs, you know what I mean, like your famous designs.
Yeah. Well, it's funny because that is the part that sucks about it, is like, I will do a pre-order and people will share it and like, it'll sell well or whatever. And then once people start getting their packages or whatever, and if they post them online, then more people want it. And then they come and they're like, you don't have this for sale? And I'm like, that was like a pre-order. Like, I only order, you know, like, so that is the bummer part, is when people discover it, or if they see a homie wearing it, they're like, where'd you get that? And they're like, oh, I got it from this place. And then they go to buy it. Obviously it's not there.
Yeah.
So it is a good thing to do, like, to do that. I mean, and that's another reason why I buy like leftovers, because sometimes people will just send me a message. Like, bro, do you have any more of these left? And I'm like, yeah, actually I do. Like, they're just not like always for sale. Another reason not to always have things for sale too is because it is a bootleg. So it's like, if it's always up there, like, motherfuckers will, you know. I've gotten only one cease and desist so far from Blink.
Oh, is that the one you just did?
Yeah, so like the thing is I did it twice in 1 year. I did the drop in February, and then they got shipped out. Everyone was hyped on them, and everyone kept asking me about it. And so I was like, all right, like I guess I'll do another round of them. And then once I did that, that's when I got the cease and desist, because I went.
The recent one.
Yeah, because I did it too much, you know? Yeah. Like, if it's always out there and people are always
promoting it,
yeah, it's like, then they're going to, you know, those motherfuckers will see it, and they'll be like, you can't do that, you know? But if you just do it, Cuddy, like, I don't even, like, say that I'm going to do a drop. I just kind of do it and hope it goes well. And then, you know, it's, like, not enough time for whoever I'm doing a boot of to figure out that it exists and then get a lawyer to, like, send me an email. You know, if it's already on their radar, then it's much easier to catch me, you know?
Yeah. Damn. But, yeah, I mean, this shit's sick, though. That shit's for real sick.
Thank you, man. I appreciate that.
All right, we're going to do this or that, wrap it up, just because right. Doors are going to open and then you can hear this shit.
Yeah.
All right. You know what this or that is? So I will say, like, Blink or Green Day.
Okay.
You know,
you'll just, all right. Right. Real quick answer. All right.
Yeah. Okay. So we're going to try to do as much, because I was looking forward for that one for you, because I know you like a lot of shit.
Okay.
All right. Stone Cold. No, Stone Cold's already big.
Yeah.
Anyway, HBK or Triple H?
HBK.
Orange Soda or Coke?
Coke.
Walmart or Target?
Target.
Hatebreed or Death Threat?
Hatebreed.
Metallica or Slayer?
Metallica.
Under Demons or Buried Alive?
Buried Alive.
Terror? No, nothing beats Terror. Guns N' Roses or Motley Crue?
Ooh, I'm gonna go Motley on that one, because there'd be no Guns without Motley, to be honest.
True.
So.
That's true. Poison or Cinderella?
Cinderella, dude. I don't like Bret Michaels at all.
I don't like him, but dude, Poison slaps.
Poison's not bad. I like CC DeVille. I think he's a crazy motherfucker, and that's cool. I don't mind Rock of Love. I think that's a funny show. Bret Michaels, like, he annoys me. So Cinderella for sure.
Bon Jovi or Bon Jovi Aerosmith?
Aerosmith.
I'm trying to think. Shit. Winger or White Lion?
White Lion.
Red Hot Chili Peppers or Green Day?
Green Day for sure.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm trying to. You got one? No?
No.
shit. Why did I just put that? Converse or Vans?
Vans.
Right?
I like skate highs.
Okay.
I'm wearing Reeboks right now, but Converse are uncomfortable for me.
Yeah.
Like, they're, because it's like a canvas, I don't feel like the support, you know, like a shoe should. I feel like I'm wearing sandals.
Nike or Adidas?
Converse. Nike.
Hell in a Cell?
Ooh.
Or Elimination Chamber?
Ooh. Elimination Chamber.
Elimination Chamber?
Hell in a Cell is sick, but Elimination Chamber is more exciting.
All right.
You know?
Survivor Series or SummerSlam?
Survivor Series.
TLC match or Money in the Bank?
Money in the Bank. More smart stake there.
Led Zeppelin or Black Sabbath?
Led Zeppelin.
The movie Lil Nicky. We were just watching for the first time today.
Uh-huh.
Lil Nicky or... Oh, fuck. What's the one with... He's a golf player.
Happy Gilmore. Little Nicky, I think.
Okay. Death or Obituary?
Obituary.
I Hate God or Godflesh?
I Hate God. Dope band.
Yeah.
We hung out with the bass player's house once. He has like a 150-year-old turtle.
That's
fucking huge. He just lives in his backyard. Like, we went out there to, like, smoke weed. He's like, watch out for the turtle. And we were like, what? And he's like, yeah, he's like a legit, like, snapping turtle. So he will bite you.
At 150 years old.
Yeah. And so, like, I have a picture of him holding it. And it's like, dude, he was like, it took him so much to just lift it.
Oh, shit.
It's like, it's humongous.
How long did turtles live for?
A long ass time, I guess.
Like, it's like 150,
I mean,
years.
Maybe it was like 100 years old or something, but turtles live like about 100, 150 or something. They're slow as shit, so it's like
shit.
It's
okay.
Crazy.
Alright, three more. Dinosaur Jr. or Primus?
Dinosaur Jr.
Motionless in White? Motionless in White or Escape the Fate?
I've never heard of either of those bands.
All right, we'll replace.
I'd go Under Oath if we're going that style.
Suicidal Tendencies or Descendants?
Descendants. Yeah. Somewhere. I like the Simons.
And the last one would be... be a wrestler or be a famous musician?
Ooh. I think I'd want to be a wrestler.
Damn, really? Yeah. Oh, we probably get to try the music thing.
Yeah, I know the, I know what it takes to be a musician, yeah. Wrestling is sick. Yeah, I'd want to be a wrestler.
What would your wrestler name be?
I don't know, man. As a kid, I had, like, little goofy names, like, too embarrassing to talk about. But, I mean, like, when I first moved to California and I got asked that question, I answered it as Boston John. For some reason, yeah. I don't know, I came up with it. And then, like, when Instagram came out, that was my first Instagram name, was Boston John. And so, yeah.
I feel like you'd be the wrestler who just have a fake name, like John Sayers.
Oh, I'm sure that's what they would want. I would want like a one-worded, like a Undertaker type name, you know? Okay. Like, I would want a name like that. When people ask like what kind of wrestler I would be, so when Dean Ambrose was in the Shield, that's the type of wrestler I would want to be.
Yeah,
he's like, without the Shield, but like
just crazy.
His attitude, yeah, the way he wrestled, and then like even when he like went like into when he was just solo, like he wore just like the jeans and like the white beater or whatever, and he's kind of more my style, like brawler, Stone Cold style. And it's funny because I had a friend that I worked with at this place, and she was like a photographer, and she needed to like do this project where she took pictures of people dressed up as the career that they wanted. And I was like, do me, dude, I want to be a wrestler. So I dressed up, and it was like dead on Dean Ambrose, dude. I just wore like jeans, and like I got like a gray like champion hoodie, and I cut the sleeves off, and I had the hood on, and I cut like the hood off a little bit, so it was like looked like workout wear, you know?
Yeah.
And yeah, so I like, dude, it was all straight
up. You know, you remember, you know, you, I feel like it fits you.
Mm.
Like the, what do you call the underwear or the trunks?
Yeah, the trunks.
The trunks. You just need more tattoos, a beard, and then like the long hair, and then like just the black, like, you know,
like
long
Andy
beard.
From Every Time I Die.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like, I was thinking about that.
I'd fuck with that. Yeah, that's a good look.
That's what I feel like would suit you.
Or like Brody King, yeah.
Yeah, and then like you, like the Sandman, like where he comes in through the crowd.
Yeah.
Like you would just need like a hammer. Like, you know what I mean? Just come with the hammer through the crowd, and then like you just be like,
yeah.
You'd be called like, oh, the Outlaw.
Yeah. Johnny Outlaw or something.
Yeah, Johnny Outlaw.
Oh.
And then you're just like a Southern, like, you know, like trashy dude where you just come from, and then like you disrespect people.
Fuck.
Or like fans are like, you know, coming through the crowd and you just with the hammer.
We got like, money here right
dude,
now.
Dude, yeah. And then like
money.
And then like people are like, want to say what's up, and you're like, get out. You're
yeah,
like,
I'm a heel for sure.
Yeah, it's like.
Yeah. Oh, I'm about that. Yeah. That's a good one. Thank you.
You know how like R-Truth would like say something in the mic, like wait, like sing?
Uh-huh.
But you'd be like, hold on.
Yeah.
He's like, look at you, all you bastards. Like,
yeah.
It's like, I said, shut the fuck up. All you. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. Johnny Outlaw. Yeah, yeah.
Johnny Outlaw, dude.
Dude, we just got you. Yeah.
I'm about it, yeah.
All right. Thank you, everybody, for listening. It's going to be yours. Yeah, this is John. Johnny Outlaw. There you go.
Yeah, Johnny Outlaw. Thank you, man.
Thank you for listening.
Hell yeah.